holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have in my hand something called a final adoption decree. It's a real one. There's a lot of language up front that talks about the child, the parents, having an investigator to look into the situation of this child, to look into the parents of this child, if they can be found, whether or not this child should be adopted, could be adopted, whether or not the parents are suitable to adopt this child. And then it says, it is therefore ordered, adjudged, and decreed that the petition for adoption be, and the same is hereby granted, that the written report of the investigator be filed with the records of this proceeding, that the rights of all other persons, if any they have, to the care, control, and custody of the said child, and the same are hereby forever finally terminated. That said child shall henceforth be known as Delaney Louise Gazaway, and is hereby declared adopted by the petitioners in accordance with the laws of the state of Texas, that therefore and henceforth and for all intents and purposes whatsoever, the said child is and is hereby declared to be in the same relationship to the petitioners as if born to them by natural birth, and remaining in such relationship as if the child were their own. And said petitioners are hereby charged with the duties and responsibilities for the care, the love, the support, and the maintenance of Delaney in the same manner, to the same extent, and in the same relationship as if the child were their own by natural birth, all as provided for by and in accordance with the laws of the state of Texas. That adoption decree was from a family in one of the congregations that I served, and that family had four adopted children. She was one of them. And when I read that to them, I asked the parents if I could do this, because we're going to talk about adoption today. There wasn't a face in the congregation that didn't have a tear. It was a beautiful thing. This little piece of paper that I just read totally changed the life and perhaps the destiny of a child. The natural parents of this child could not or would not give this little child what this little one needed. Daddy was nowhere to be found. He had abdicated his responsibility to be a father, and thus, and with the mother, was put up for adoption. Praise God for that she wasn't aborted. Now, we ask questions, of course. Would this child grow up in this world with the heartbreaking knowledge that she was not wanted? Would she grow up abandoned, alone, perhaps always believing that she was worthless because her parents didn't want her? Would she live her life trying to find love in the arms of men in inappropriate ways because she did not have an appropriate touch from her father. Would she have a chance? Would she have a family? Would she be raised in a place that she could call home? So as I read to you, you understand that she was given a new name. She was given a new family, a new set of parents, and a completely new start. You know, adoption is an absolutely beautiful thing. It gives hope and meaning and structure and life where it did not exist before. And in my view, the apex of all that God has done for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, redemption accomplished and applied, the apex of the gospel is our adoption by the Lord. If we would embrace what our adoption decree states and begin to live as if it were true, our lives would be radiant. The little child represented by this final adoption decree gets to spend the rest of her life discovering the privileges of being in her family. And so it is with the children of God. You know, we have plunged into the Apostle Paul's heart in Ephesians chapter 1. And it is as if he were asked the question, Paul, why is it that you love the Lord? Why is he worth serving? Because you've been through so much difficulty and trial. And Paul answers that question by enumerating the manifold blessings given to the believer. Why do I serve him? Why do I love him? And Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with everything we need by the Holy Spirit. And then he just enumerates these blessings in one long, flowing sentence of praise. So what are these blessings that have changed the life of a hard-hearted Pharisee and murderer into a zealous, humble, fierce servant of God? What are these spiritual blessings that have such power to absolutely transform the heart of a sinner? Well, we saw last week that Paul just could not get over being chosen by God before the foundation of the world. He knew that his salvation was totally initiated by God himself. He knew that his salvation was motivated by God's loving heart. And as a result, Paul became a man who lived and worked, not for his own glory, not for his own name, not for his own reputation, but for the glory of this God who saved him, redeemed him, has forgiven him, and adopted him. The great apostle goes on and speaks of why the Lord chose us. Why did he choose us? It was because he wanted you and he wanted I to spend the rest of our lives enjoying and basking in the privileges of being adopted. This is his final decree of adoption. New family, new name. So what are these privileges of adoption that have transformed sinners into saints and prodigals into passionate, Christ-centered people? That's what I want to talk about. I will give you four. The first privilege of our adoption is that we have a new father. A new father. I love how the Bible puts it in Romans chapter 8. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. That's not Christianity. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again in fear or to fear. But you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You ever think about what the work of the Spirit really is? Yes, it's to produce, yes, it is to produce the character of Christ in you. But one of the main works of the Holy Spirit is just this. He testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Why? Because I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Why are children put up for adoption? Because their father and mother could not, or perhaps would not, delight in raising them. But now, because of Christ Jesus and his work of satisfying God's wrath and his justice by taking on our sins, the child of God has the barrier of his sins completely removed, and God embraces us. Now the child no longer has to be enslaved to the terror of God's white hot wrath. It is removed. You do not have to be afraid of God anymore when he is your father. Now the believer has what the Bible calls peace with God. The believer, the child, no longer has to run from God, but rather we run to him as a child would his own natural parent when he's afraid, when he's scared, when he needs help. You know, this is true. Children naturally love their daddies. They love their mommies. They love their parents. And how many times have you heard a child say, or how many times have you said yourself when you were little, Dad, watch this. Watch what I can do. Dad, were you watching when I hit the ball in the baseball game? I went to second base. Were you watching? I can't tell you how many times I got up to the plate in Little League. And I would be ready for the pitch. And every single time before that pitcher pitched, I would look back on the stands and see if my dad was watching me. I wanted to please him. I wanted his approval. I loved him. And I still do. Dad, what's this? And we do that because we know that a good father is interested in his children. He's concerned. The son does not cower in fear, but comes to the father out of love. God the Father chose us before the foundation of the world so he could bring us into his family and pour out his fatherly heart of love upon us. Children have complete access to their daddy. And so does the believer. So adoption means you have the privilege of having a new, loving, strong, righteous, holy, good father. And you cannot make that go away. Second privilege of adoption is you have a new family. A new family. And this is a wonderful thing. I mean, is not the fellowship of the saints a glorious thing in your life? You see, when children belong to a family, they have this sense of identity, this sense of I'm safe. I'm home. This is where I belong. This sense of belonging, a sense of ownership. They have a name. And so it is with us. We're in God's family. And in a family, one learns that the world does not revolve around them only. In a family, you have to learn to share and to give and to laugh and laugh and to forgive and to help, And we need to realize that a very, very powerful witness of the Spirit is what others see in the family of God and how we treat one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if and only if you have love for one another. And you may say, yeah, well, in this family, some people are really hard to love. That's right. And you're one of them. You know, I'm one of them. But it doesn't matter. You're in the same family. Now, you and I know that no family is perfect. None. All families have their feuds. All families have their spats. But there is something incredibly powerful when others see Christians caring for one another, listening to one another, praying for each other, talking to one another, serving each other, and loving the Lord together. You have a new family. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's new society on earth, with His rules, with His standards, with His words, is the most beautiful thing on this earth. The relationships in the new family of God. The third privilege of our adoption is loving discipline. Loving discipline. We just read for our responsive reading Hebrews 12. I will read some of it again. My son, do not make light. Do not ignore, do not laugh at it, do not cast it away, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He gets in your face, when He rebukes you, because the Lord, why? Because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He takes out to the woodshed everyone He accepts as a son, everyone, even pastors, maybe I should say especially pastors. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? What son is not disciplined by his father? Well, if you have a crummy father, that son isn't disciplined. If you are not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. You're the neighbor's kids. Who cares what you say? Who cares how you live? Who cares what you smoke? Who cares what you drink? Who cares who you're hanging out with? I don't care. You're the neighbor's kids. You're not mine. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and then after a while, we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. You see what God's about? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, amen, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You have a father who loves you enough to discipline you, to train you, to shape you. Now, the love of God is not always a pampering love. It is a purifying love. So that we may share in the family likeness. Oh, you're from that family. I can tell. And that family likeness is holiness. And men and women in the church, those of you also that are raising little ones, the greatest need of your family, the greatest need of your family is your holiness. Your Christ-likeness. You know, children need authority. They do not need to be in control, telling their parents what is best for them. I'm 8 years old. I need my own computer. I'm 8 years old. I have to have... Wait, everybody else has a phone. I don't want a dumb phone. I want a smartphone. And I want a 20-inch, you know, a 45-inch or foot TV in my room on the wall. Children need loving parents who will require them to obey. How? Right away, all the way, and in a happy way. That's what parents do. And it will be the hardest job you will ever have. And the most delightful calling you will ever have. It is the foolish parent who does not care enough to discipline his child. So the point is that children left to themselves, will make a mess of things. And so the Lord, in his loving fatherly wisdom, teaches us, often through pain, this through his care, he trains us for our good, for this world's good, for his church's good. And if we are not disciplined by the Lord, as I said before, we're the neighbor's kids and we have no true relationship with God at all. So think about it this way, as we start a new year. How has your father disciplined you this past year? How has he brought to light the issues of your heart through discipline? What bubbled up when all that mess was happening? What have you learned? How have you become more holy and more like Jesus because he cared enough to confront you and love you? Proverbs 19:18 says this. This was very helpful to me when I was raising children. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. You will be a willing party to your son's death, your daughter's death, if you do not discipline them and care for them. No, right away, all the way in a happy way. Yes, I absolutely love you, but no, you can't have your way. That's a Christian parent. You're not angry. You're not throwing things. You're not beating them and on the face or anything like that. No, you're in control. You have self-control. You're teaching them that the greatest thing, the most highest privilege ever in this life is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we obey his good words. Parents who don't care are the ones who tolerate destructive attitudes and behaviors without some sort of intervention. Oh, that's just him. He's just out of control. Yeah. Love must be as much of a light as it is a warmth. So let us not to despise the discipline of the Lord. For discipline is love. It is care that does not tolerate evil in the family. So that's the third privilege of adoption, loving discipline. The fourth privilege of adoption is this, your enjoyment of it. You know, there are two ways to live the Christian life. You can live as if you are a slave, or you can live as if you are a son or a daughter. A slave is always fearful, always afraid that he or she didn't do things just right and punishment is coming, always knowing that he will never really measure up and thus be accepted by the master. He's just a piece of property. But a child delights in his father. And he delights in pleasing his father and his mother. The worst thing you could possibly do to your heavenly father, the worst thing that could happen to break his heart is not to enjoy his love, his care, his presence, his word, his people. Now, it should not be a news flash to you that your obedience to your father is not good enough to earn his favor. Your favor has been earned, right? Your acceptance has been earned by the obedience of Christ. And now you can be free to enjoy that acceptance. Now you remember the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told to the Pharisees, right? All rules, all judgment, all criticism because people weren't obeying the word of the Lord perfectly. No, Jesus told him a story about a bad kid. Here was a child that ignored his father's wisdom, that ignored his father's discipline. He was a child that thought life was found away from and apart from his father's teaching and his father's family. That's where life is. That's where fun is. So that son spent all his inheritance, all of it, everything that he was going to get when he came of age, upon passing temporary pleasure, and wound up, after his money had run out, in a pig pen, wishing he could eat what the pigs were eating. He had been filled with the things of this world. And the things of this world, the things that this world could offer, but that food did not satisfy that child. Maybe for a little while. And suddenly he realized what a fool he had been. He had all the love. He had all the care. All the privileges of a family when he was in sweet relationship with his dad. And what happened? He was brought to a point where he could not help himself. He was brought low. And at that point, all of his worldly friends, they didn't care for him. His money had run out. No one else cared for him. And then he had this revelation. I want to go home. But in order to go home, he had to get up and leave the far country. He had to leave his pride. He had to leave his love for himself, his narcissism. He had to leave his old life. And you know what? He did. He swallows his pride. He accepts his mistakes. He sees his shame. And he comes back hoping that perhaps the father whom he had disgraced and said that he was disgusting to him, that father who had been so deeply disappointed would possibly even have him back. And upon that boy's repentance and return, he was accepted with open arms. His daddy hugged him. His daddy looked on the horizon every day saying, "Where is he? What has he got himself into? Is he even alive?" And so to you, when you come back to God, you have all the rights and the privileges of a son if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I say, you come back and you enjoy the Lord again. He is winsome. He is good. His teaching is wonderful and holy. Come and enjoy the Father again. Come and enjoy and engage in this family. Come and learn from a good Father who is out for your good and out for your holiness. Come and enjoy your adoption. How do we do that? Well, we have a new Father, and he's a good one. He's a way better one than any of the fathers in this room. You enjoy it by enjoying and being engaged in your family. Not always just being with just the people you're comfortable with, but with everyone. To make somebody feel like they're known and noticed and listened to and loved before they leave this building because you looked at them and you cared for them and you treated them like, yes, they're in my family. This final adoption decree will will be shown to Delaney Gasaway as she showed up, as she grows up. It will be shown to her. It has been shown to her. I know that for sure. She's what, Gracie's age? She's 22 now. And I think that adoption decree will fill her heart with love and gratitude for her father and her family and her mother, because someone wanted her. And she belonged. And she wasn't left out on the street. And someone wanted you.